Welcome back to the Martial Arts Show 2.0. I'm your podcast host Khalid, and my guest today is the lovely Olga. She's a fifth dan in Taekwondo, and we will talk about Taekwondo, her background, her path into martial arts, and many, many more things. So stay tuned. Hello.
Hi again.
How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
That's perfect. Anytime. I was looking forward to that for a long time. So now finally it's happening. I appreciate that a lot. And yeah, I think we can just start. Tell the people who you are and a little bit about your background.
Sure. So my name is Olga, and I'm originally from Russia, Moscow, and I now live in the United States, where we just had a crazy election. So this is perfect timing for me to take off of that and just talk about martial arts, which I love. So I'm actually not a professional martial artist. I mean, I do Taekwondo. I've been doing Taekwondo for 25 years. But I'm actually an economist, and I study, you know, psychology and economics and stuff like that. So that's my main day job. And by night, I'm also a fifth dan in Taekwondo. And when I was in high school, and I love it. And that's how I met you, and, you know, through Instagram and all the martial arts people, friends. So.
Yeah, that's so cool. It seems like when you said by night, I'm also black belt and doing Taekwondo, like in a movie. During the day, you have a normal job, but then you also like superhero and saving the streets. That's so cool.
Yeah, I know what I meant.
It's definitely very impressive, and I would definitely say you're professional, because you don't need to fight professional for the Olympics in Taekwondo. But I mean, your level, you just you have a black belt, but not just one. So how many black belts do you have? How many dan do you have? Tell people that so they can be even more impressed.
Fifth dan. In Korean, Taekwondo is a Korean martial art. It's sabum level, which is two away from master, at least in my federation of Taekwondo, which, you know, there are a couple of different ones.
Yeah, no, that's true. It's here also. Yeah, and there's ITF and WTF. These are the two federations for the people who don't know that usually. And one is more like pomza style, like in karate would be kata like forms. And but the training is the same, also hard. But the ITF is a different competitive version and more aggressive style. But in both styles you compete if you want, and both styles can be very hard. And in my opinion, it always depends on you as an athlete, if your kicks are good, if it's effective or not. You can have the best style, the best coach, but if you're not good, then you can't blame the coach or the style. So for the people who try to debate later, maybe they have your answer.
No, exactly. I mean, we just all train hard, and it's all, you know, about perfecting your own potential, getting to your own potential. And yeah, so I'm an ITF Taekwondo style, and you know, my life goal has been basically to achieve master level. And you know, in ITF Taekwondo, for example, I'm on the board of one of the national organizations for ITF Taekwondo here in the United States. And, you know, there are only two female masters in our national federation, which is, And so part of me is my goal is also to achieve some leadership level in Taekwondo as well.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you will achieve it. And that, again, you know, speaking of a powerful woman like you, I had a couple of days Christina on my podcast. She's originally from Belarus, and she lives in America now and is in real estate and everything. So very successful there. And she was totally right when she said that the women from Russia, they always strive to be perfect and successful, and they look always good and take care of themselves. And I mean, you're again the living proof also. So there's definitely something right about that.
Thank you. Always so nice and flattering. But yes, I mean, I think like martial art is a journey. We all work hard, and it's something that really is a passion of mine outside of, you know, work and my family and everything. So it's sort of something I can always do for, you know, stress and confidence reasons, not just for physical reasons.
Yeah, that's very important, speaking of that, because a lot of people always assume when you train, doesn't matter what type of sports, but in martial arts even more, that is all about looking good and being stronger, but it gives you so much more. Can you tell the people a little bit what it gave you and what it still gives you, the martial arts, Taekwondo training in general?
Absolutely. So just by way of background, I come from Moscow, and when I left Russia with my parents, it was the 90s. I was always interested in martial arts and starting to train in martial arts. I was bullied a lot in school, and so as a teenager.
Oh, that's mean.
Yeah, so I always wanted to defend myself, and you know, I'm a strong person, and I did pretty well even without having formal training, believe me. But I always wanted to start in a formal training. But in Russia back then, it was sort of not available. Like, there weren't any Taekwondo or any martial arts, especially for women, for girls. It was really hard to find. Not into it. Like, they would never. And then we moved here. United States, and I sort of was left to my own devices, and I went to high school, and I just fell into this, you know, Taekwondo school, and it was great for my confidence, because when I moved to the United States, you know, I didn't speak the language, you know, I was sort of, I was friendless, you know, in school, it was really hard in high school, and then at the Taekwondo dojang, I was always just not judged by my accent or by my, know anything. It was uniform, you know, and it's how you train, it's how much effort you put. Doesn't matter if you're great, you know, at first, but it's all about how hard you work. And that's why I got respect, and that's where I got my confidence. And I feel like now, you know, having 25 years of this training now, it's the same, you know. Yes, physically I feel fit, I feel strong, I can defend myself, that's fantastic. But I think more importantly, it's sort of, you know, giving me this mental health, confidence, everything to do well at my job and my life. And now I'm giving it back because I teach Taekwondo to students. And it's the, you know, it's really the women, and I see it, like, lacking confidence, you know, and I try to instill that in them. And Taekwondo allows me to do that, I think, much more so than, you know, how I, you know, as a professor, I'm a professor. I teach it. It's not the same, because, you know, how can you be confident about math or economics? You can't. But here, you just work hard and you got it.
True.
And that's what I've always loved about martial arts and Taekwondo.
Yeah, that's so true that you say that with the sport, you can even influence more people and be stronger than, I mean, if you have a great job, that's always good, and you can be maybe a role model for some people. But with sports, it's so much different that you can influence way more people, whether people who have these jobs like it or not, it's just a fact. That's why always the biggest influencers are always some high-level athletes, popular people in the entertainment segment, because we can have a big influence and you can change life with that. And that's also the great thing about martial arts or the gym, the dojo, is when you enter there, it's just how you train. And you don't even need to have the language at first, because a body is a body. So a kick, everybody can see a kick. Whether you live in South Africa, China, wherever, you understand a punch or a kick. And then the rest will come with the time. And if you are happy with training, then everything else will help and develop. And that's why your way is even more impressive. I mean, not speaking the language, then making all your degrees, and then being an economic professor. I mean, that's incredible. And then 5 black belts. So that's almost unbelievable. That's a book story.
I mean, I have to say, I never thought that I would be here when I was first starting out, obviously. But it's never the end. It's the journey, you know. Attitude is what gets you to your goals, right? It's like every day you just work hard, you train. And I mean, you know, I'm very happy with where I'm now, but there's always more. No, I mean, there's master,
sure.
Things. So yeah, but it's fun to give back also. It's really fun to meet people, you know, who are similarly passionate about this, like you, and you know, so it's fantastic. Yeah.
That's so true. That's always amazing how martial arts can change life. And when did you get your first black belt? Probably very soon after you started training. A couple of years later, you had the first one, right?
Yeah. Yes, I was like a super freak. Like, I just, you know, went every single day for 3 hours. I trained every day.
Wow.
I mean, yeah, I was like super intense. And I went tournaments. You know, I was back in high school, so I had the time. And in college a little bit as well. So, yeah, I mean, I got it after about 2.5 years of training. So went boom, 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 really fast. You know, I have some videos. I was just watching them actually, kind of memory lane, went down memory lane. Watching some videos of my black belt test, and it's so funny because it's so old school. Like Taekwondo, yeah. You know, changed over time, the style, like everything. So you know, mine is like very karate like. It's like very, you know, very tough. Like I just broke boards. It was fun to see, but yeah, it was definitely a long time ago.
but it's incredible that you did that, because a lot of people would say, oh, 2.5 years is very short, maybe too short for a black belt. But what people don't understand, back then, like 10 to 20 years ago, martial arts, especially the exams, they were way harder and tougher. So the instructor, they were way harder. And I can see that also with my Taekwondo teacher. I mean, he competed in 88 in the first Olympic Games, when Taekwondo was for the first time Olympic in South Korea. And he was seventh place for a German guy against all the Koreans. It's definitely impressive. And he was 10 years in a row German champion all the time. So yeah, I know how hard it is. And so that's why these days, it will take longer to get your black belt, even if you train like a maniac, like you 3 hours. But back then it was hard and tough. So you definitely earned your black belt, for the people who want to say it's too short. But I understand not everybody can do it in 2 years or 3 years. And that's okay. For some people, it takes 5 years, 10 years. But if you train hard and smart, you will get it. And of course, not everybody wants to train 2-3 hours a day or can train like that. So that just shows how tough you are.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, now and then it's funny because, of course, depending on when you start, like then life happens. Yeah. And honestly, I feel like, you know, this is where we lose the women in martial arts, right? Is where, you know, get married, you know, you have kids or whatever, and then you just don't have that time to dedicate to the art anymore. Yeah. And you know, as we were talking before this, you know, it takes maintenance. Like you have to maintain your training, like practicing, you know, the patterns, the kata, the patterns. They go away from the memory, right? So you have to really every day.
That is so true, yeah.
So if you don't have that time when life gets busy with career and kids, you know, it's but that's why, you know, just have to have that mentality. Like I'm gonna wake up earlier than everyone else. I'm gonna like try to squeeze. I think that's what separates it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why you're a champion. That's why you have so many black belts, and because definitely that separates you from a lot of people, for sure. And also, that's why I all the time say, if you have the chance, start as early as possible. Because as you said, especially with the women, when Taekwondo or sports lose women, is because, you know, circumstances. But when you start, let's say, as a kid with 6 years, and you do it from 6 to 18, and then maybe later you do other things, but then at least you have your black belt. And then having one black belt is definitely better than no black belt. And I understand a lot of people don't want to go further than one, because the rest is just a lot of forms, and it's not so much competing, and it depends what you want. So I understand that some people just want to have the black belt and then focus on competing or just on the competition training. But yeah, I mean, you pushed through that. So how hard was it for you to get the black belt in that time? Was probably a very hard training pensum.
Well, I mean, I think it was hard, but it was, I never thought of it as hard, because it was my community. It's where my friends were. It's, you know, I went there not to, like, I never even thought about training, really. I was just thinking, like, I'm going to my family, right? My Taekwondo family. It was actually not that hard, and I enjoy the testing. I enjoy all of it. Breaking is my, I was telling you before, and breaking is my least favorite. But no, just to challenge yourself, and that was the hardest. Fun, the hardest part, but yeah, it was awesome. But to your point about stopping at black belt, a lot of people misunderstand, people who are not really like so ingrained in the martial arts community, like why, you know, anyone would ever continue after your first black belt, first done. Yeah. But I think, you know, to me, it would just open my eyes that was just the beginning, really. I mean, getting your first done is like becoming a novice. I mean, in fact, in my training, it's always, you know, called like, you know, it's a novice.
Yeah.
Who Well, what does that mean? It means that you actually learn, you have learned what you don't know. You have learned the things that you still have to perfect, you still have to train for. So for me, like, I got the first down and I was like, oh man, now I'm really inspired to like train more. And actually ITF has been developing more attitude towards sports and competing and competition beyond the first down. So we actually have amazing opportunities for people at my rank or even at the higher ranks to compete at championships and so on. So it's actually, it's becoming more of a sport, like WT, World Taekwondo, has become more so before, but now we are kind of catching up, I think, in terms of the level of competitors that we have at every rank, even beyond first dan. So it's a time to be in Taekwondo.
No, definitely. I mean, in general, for all sports, and especially combat sports, it evolves so much because combat sports as a sport is pretty young if we compare it to soccer or other sports. I mean, as an art, like martial arts, is hundreds of years old. Although Taekwondo is one of the younger martial arts, it's not even 100 years. It was just found in 56 or 57, so it's not that old. But in general, it's a good time to be alive, to train, to be a martial artist, to do Taekwondo, whatever, because you evolve constantly. You have so many new tools, so many new things you can learn, so many great videos where you can learn from, and it's just fascinating. So what is your most fascinating thing about Taekwondo for you?
Right now, what's the most fascinating? I think you're right. I'm watching a lot of videos of world champions, you know, my idols that I aspire to be like. And I enjoy, I'm a very technical person. I'm probably less of a sparring competitor. You know, I mean, I enjoy sparring a lot, but that's not my forte.
Yeah.
I really enjoy patterns. I enjoy tool, you know.
You're perfectionist.
So there's a lot to be said to the power that you can generate. And so I love to work on my kicks and make them as powerful and crisp as possible. But also hand techniques. I mean, I enjoy sort of all aspects of that. It's almost like a dance, you know, the flow, the movement.
Yeah.
So that's probably my favorite part of training at the moment, as well as teaching. As I was saying, you know, I really do love giving back. I just had a student who is in my school, one of my closest friends. You know, she tested for first dan for black belt, and to see that, and it's just
Was the video you posted?
Yes.
With her, yeah. So that was awesome.
Yeah, and you know, she's super amazing, and it's always great to see like that next generation. You know, black belts as we age out and like up, and it's amazing, and especially to see a woman. So yeah, I mean, these are like I love everything about it, of course, but yeah.
Yes, it's definitely so many fascinating things, and I also love always power, and speed is of course very important for powerful, for the people who don't know, and it's just physics. You can ask any physics teacher who studied it has nothing really to do with martial arts. It's I always give the example with a car. If a car drives like very slow, like 5 miles per hour or even less, if you get hit by that car, it probably hurts, but it's nothing. But if it's very fast and then you get hit by that's totally different. It's the same with the kick. If you are very fast, if you can get the speed, and then with the momentum, then you have the full power. And that's what people also don't understand. They think, oh, you can only hit or punch hard if you weigh 100 kilo to 220 pounds. But if you get hit with 140 pounds in your face or in the body with full speed, that is also a total different level.
Absolutely, absolutely. So yeah, and it's great that you mentioned that, because what I love about Taekwondo, really appreciate, is that it is a very scientific martial art, like you were saying, you know.
That fits you.
And in physics, yeah, I mean, and I'm a nerdy person, like I enjoy science, so it makes sense to me that, like what you're saying, you know, the acceleration, you know, the twisting, right, like the torque, everything that we do with our body, we use the full body to generate that power. And as a woman, I think, like, you know, again, like you said, you know, you're not a big dude, you know, muscular, we can still be powerful. what makes it really exciting. Yeah.
Yeah, I can definitely say one thing for dudes to always think, when they spar with woman, oh, I don't want to hurt her, or yeah, she can't handle it. Trust me, a woman, when she's at your level, when you get a back kick, a tee check, your other kicks in your stomach or face, it definitely it hurts. So and you can even knock down strong guys. It's just how you place the kick, and the timing is important, and of course speed with the momentum, and then it hurts definitely. It doesn't matter how big you are.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. I mean, you know, like there are limits in self.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think in self defense, like when I teach self defense, you know, there's a lot of this time kind of self defense where there's like wrist locks and, you know, kind of, you know, grappling style self defense.
Yeah.
You know, I think everybody should learn it. But for women, I tell them, why would you, you know, if somebody's grabbing you by your arm, you know, why would you start to like rip away from
it? Yeah, you can't. Yeah.
Just, you know, just use your kicking. Use the, you know, and don't go high, right? Like go right.
Yeah, groin kick, yeah.
And yeah. Right, so like the areas where you can do the most damage with the least sort of mass.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so I think that it does matter. There are limits, you know, to sort of what you can do in terms of like how many attackers, what, you know, do they have weapons, yeah, all of these things. But Taekwondo teaches you to know what you can and cannot do, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right in the moment.
Mm. And also with Taekwondo, but martial arts in general, you learn how to observe a situation before it even happens. So a lot of normal people wouldn't even realize if somebody constantly grabs here in his pocket or in his pants, what it means. They think probably, oh, he's just doing something, but that means he or she has something and wants to start. So you have to be on alert before even the situation happens. And that's the eye you get from martial arts. And that's what I love about it so much.
Yeah. And reflex as well, right?
Yeah.
Sort of like being able, and I think like going back to what I was saying before is confidence, you know,
yeah.
I think a lot of guts to be loud and weird. And a lot,
yeah,
of, and a lot of the times, like on the street, you know, if there's some kind of like altercation, somebody's coming at you, maybe drunk or like, you know, a person who doesn't have confidence might be shy, might be quiet. And then like sort of, you know,
charge quick.
Yeah, no worries. But I'm not afraid to yell. In their
face. Yeah, well, definitely.
or spit in their face, you know, like best self-defense is just like spit in their face. So,
yeah.
That confidence, I think, does come with training as well. It's like, not, you know, I'm going to defend myself with whatever it takes is an important lesson that we learn from martial arts. Yeah.
Yeah, and you just get tough and you're not afraid, or at least not too afraid of the situation. Especially for women, it's very important. That's why I'm also happy to have you here on, so you can give the women out there some advices and some confidence, because you can defend yourself even as a woman, so you're not lost, definitely.
Definitely, yes, definitely. And also get out of there, you know, like that's the best lesson, is like not to try anything, you know, if you don't have to.
Yeah.
That's the best thing. Like, you know, yell, no, be loud, get out of there if you can. Yeah, I think avoiding.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like martial arts is self-defense. It's not aggression, right?
True, yeah. That was the original reason why martial arts and a lot of styles were founded, because in back then, 100, 200 years ago, all these countries in Asia, they had wars against each other, and they learned to deal with weapons. And when the sword and everything was lost, then it was empty hands and feet, and then that's how they developed it. But these days, of course, they modified it a little bit for sports, but still the art itself, it still stays. So as you said, it's self-defense.
Exactly. Yes.
And when you grow up doing Taekwondo, watching probably also a lot of martial arts movies, especially in the 90s, 80s and 90s was a hot time for martial arts movies. It seems like every week and every week was something out. So who were your movie idols or martial arts idols growing up?
So many. I watched them all, for sure. Best of the best. Love that movie. Probably inspired me to do Taekwondo.
Yeah. With Eric
Roberts.
Roberts, yeah.
And Korean guy. I mean, it was a Taekwondo movie, right?
Yeah, Philip Ree, and he's original. He's a very good Taekwondo instructor. For the people who want to know more about him, he was on Scott Adkins' YouTube channel because he interviews now all these action stars, and he was there on the show. I mean, he's probably close to 60 now, but he still can do everything, and
yes,
it's just incredible.
Incredible. So absolutely, those guys. And then Jean-Claude Van Damme, I mean, definitely my idol. I mean, just every movie I've seen like 1,000 times, you know, but, and it's kind of sad to say that it's like a lot of men, of course, but there were women for sure. And the new Karate Kid, I mean, right?
How yeah.
Go wrong? It's so amazing.
Yeah.
You know, when I was growing up again back in Russia, like I you know, I didn't know the difference between, you know, this is a Taekwondo movie, this is karate, this is Kung Fu.
You just watched, yeah.
Just watched it. Yeah, and absolutely loved it. Thankfully my parents were nice enough to like let me watch that stuff. I mean, I don't know if they knew that I'm watching like Bloodsport, you know, at 13, but and that sort of inspired me. And there were a couple of also other women's movies. I think there's like wasn't it something like a Dragon Lady or
Lady Dragon with Cynthia Rothrock, yeah.
So great.
Yeah. She's really good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Amazing. Yeah. So all of that stuff, and then, you know, came to the U.S., had an opportunity. Again, like I said, you know, like I totally fell into it. Of course, as it sometimes goes, it came with a boy. he quit. He didn't even last, like, until green belt, and I stuck with it. And you know what's interesting? My parents were, you know, they said, oh, Olga, you're going to quit. You're just gonna quit this, you know, at 16. They're like, what is this? This is so like,
yeah.
And I said, Mom, like, when did I ever quit anything? 5 years later, I basically, you know, I'm still here, so prove them wrong.
Yeah, that definitely speaks for you. I mean, that's incredible what you achieved, and that a lot of people can look up to that, and not just women but also men. You're definitely inspiring and a role model for sure.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. You are as well. So.
Well, thank you. And it's just true that you're amazing. What is your favorite technique or favorite kick? I mean, everybody probably has a favorite training they want to do, favorite technique, favorite kick. What is yours?
Oh, great question. So many. I just really love the sort of basic yapchiki sidekick. Sidekick, you know, in different terminologies is different, but sidekick, yeah. Love it. It is powerful, incredible, it looks great. It took me years to get it to where it should be. I think it definitely is a deceptively difficult kick.
Yeah.
You know, even though it's so basic, no, I mean, it's bread and butter.
But it's harder than people think, yeah, because they always just think, oh, it's just to the side, you basically kick. But if you do it normal, you have less power. It has to be everything perfect. Knee has to be basically like this, and then foot has to be in perfect position, and then the heel has to be very close to your target, so, and then you can really push out. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And a lot of people do the foot like this or this, but honestly, like you show with your hand, you have to turn a little bit to have the perfect power.
Exactly. And kicking with the foot sword, which is something that, you know, has been, you know, of course, to break boards, you can kick with sort of the heel area, right? To really be powerful, but, you know, the beauty of it is when it's like, you know, with a foot sword. I love that kick. And of course, the variation of the reverse side kick, which is the back kick, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of
shaggy. Yeah. Yeah, I love that too. That's because that's so powerful. You can do it standing. You can do it jumping. You can do it when somebody grabs your foot, and then you just basically turn, spin, and then you can do it in the face or body. That's awesome.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's not a flashy kick. Like, I'm sure it's, you know, there's some people who say, oh, you know, I love like tornado kick or like, you know, high kick, like when you're jumping high in the air, or midair kicks, you know. But they're great, acrobatic, absolutely beautiful. But like, again, from the self-defense perspective, right? If we train, sidekick is all we need.
Yeah, sidekick, and like, that's why some people say, you know, a spinning back kick to the body is also called like a horse kick, because basically it is. It has the mechanics like this. So that means if somebody's behind you, you can just kick in the groin like that. And it can be also flashy kick if you do it right with full speed, full force, or just a spinning back kick to the face if you do it right. Most people only say these kicks are not working because they can't do them. That's the brutal truth, honestly, because they all say kicks don't work. But you see it in the UFC, you see it in a lot of competitions, you see it even on the street. So every kick is working, but of course you have to perfect them, and your kicks are definitely perfect. I mean, when the people will check out your Instagram, they can see how high you can kick. That's incredible. I mean, that's really, and that's not Photoshop, I know that for sure.
Oh.
So it's definitely amazing.
Always work that flexibility for sure, but yes.
So you probably also stretch every day. So what is your stretching routine for the people who want to ask that or want to know that?
That's a great question. I do try to stretch every day. You know, some days are harder than other busier. So what is important to know is that if you're cold, it's important to do dynamic stretching and not through the stratus splits and all the, you know, sort of like not to push your body. So if you're starting out cold, I do a lot of front rising kicks, and so which are basically just straight leg up, down, to, and also side rising kick up, down, but dynamic. So in other words, you're not pushing your gravity is not pushing you down into the stretch. So things like that. I do. So I have hip dysplasia. It's a congenital condition. It's a hip disorder where your socket is shallow. So
You were born with that, or did that happen with an accident or anything?
I was born with it. You're born with it. And a lot of the, and nowadays in the modern world, babies with this condition are put in a harness and they're like, it's shifted and it's all set. So it's like a pretty rare condition now. But I'm in Russia and they didn't have x-rays for babies, so they couldn't catch it early on. And I actually didn't know I had it because of Taekwondo, which is so impressive that
mm-hmm.
because when you strengthen your glute and your quad and your core, inevitably you're strengthening sort of that hip joint and the muscles around. I didn't even know I was doing that until I had it. When I was pregnant, additional weight was really bearing down on the hip, and then that's when I found out. That was it. But anyway, going back to the stretching, sorry. So I do a lot of hip stretching. So again, opening up the leg to the side, opening up, so kind of like almost like vertical kicks. I don't know if they are in analogies, but opening up like this.
I know. It looks like, you know, when you want to clean your car and it's like you wish away, so like it's with the swipe to the side,
exactly. And then a lot of like lunges, but careful in the knee, so that's another, you know, have to be careful with that, but like kind of going into a lot of like yoga positions, so that's good. So that's before your exercise. After you work out, though, you can do more. You can do a lot of kind of tension and stretching to boost your flexibility. So like, for example, like, you know, you stand like this with your legs out, and you press in with your muscle, you know, to try to, and then you go farther out and farther out.
Yeah.
Or more static stretching, but it's okay after you're warm. I do some all that stuff, but definitely my hip. I'm always doing some hip stretching just for my condition.
But that's a very important aspect that you did, as you said, that with your hip. And I think that can kill all these excuses with the people who say they have something. I mean, you prove them wrong, so you can do still everything, because a big part is always when you have something. Some people have it also in the shoulder, that the shoulder is very tight and it's bone on bone. That just means you have to strengthen that area, because that area you cannot allow to be weak, and you have to stretch it the proper way. And so you basically then the living proof you can still do everything. And is that leg the same powerful leg like your other leg, or is it then 50? Is then like the one leg is a little bit stronger than the other?
It's on both sides, actually, but my right is worse. I was lucky that Taekwondo was exactly the kind of exercise that strengthened, like,
perfect, right?
You know what I mean? So that I'm not gonna say, you know, oh, you know, if you have excruciating pain, people should push through that. I mean, obviously, there's a
Then they should go to a doctor, but I think a lot of people, they can take a page out of your book and do it like you did. I mean, that's just the proof.
Yeah, I mean, thank you so much. I think the key thing to work on for anyone, I mean, it doesn't matter if you're a martial arts person or not, is core. All the small core muscles, the ab muscles, the things that you've never even heard of, like, right, these transform abdominals, like, you know,
yeah.
I don't found out about any of that stuff again, like, having a very difficult pregnancy C-section, like all that stuff. When you lose that stuff, you know, you have to get all of that stuff back. Like, that's what really makes you be like, wow, you know, the human body is not like, you know, you have to work, you have to like strengthen it. But it's possible. It's possible.
Yeah.
I'm stronger now than I was before, you know. All that happened because I sort of realized, okay, I got to work on my core. I got to work, you know, on these exercises, and
yeah,
helps a lot. Yeah,
that's so fascinating. So I like it when people have maybe some issues or some problems, and they just work on it, and that just shows the human body is always special, and you can fix way more problems and things than you really would think. And you just have to be strong and flexible at the same time. And that's what I love about martial arts. Because with martial arts, you basically have everything. You're a true athlete. You have reflexes. You have power. You have flexibility, but also overall strength. And you still look good also. So everything, all the things people want, you have it all in one.
Yeah, yes. I mean, I think we all do. Exactly. I think martial arts is a very holistic
Yeah.
Activity, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
But it, you know, I will say that it does come with certain kinds of it, right? I mean, if
yeah.
you're proper training, if you're not pivoting right, if you're not, you know, overextending, for example, knee problems. People in martial arts have knee problems all the time. Why is that? Their stance is
bad
not
technique.
Right. Technique is not
yeah.
right. That's why I'm technical. I have to, because my hips are not going to let me not be right. You
yeah.
have to have a good stance, or you're going to feel it after years. Like, if you do it for a year, well, maybe that's okay, but if you're gonna go
yeah.
on your joints for 25 years like I've done, you can't be doing that, right? You have to be gentle,
yeah.
know how to stretch, how to strengthen, and that you can sustain it. I mean, because you can't sustain like a martial arts lifestyle without
yeah. And that's why people like Jean-Claude Van Damme or Dolph Lundgren, I mean, Dolph Lundgren, he turned yesterday just 63, and he also can do the split. A lot of people probably don't know that he's a true martial artist. He was also competing in karate heavyweight tournaments, so he's not just an action guy, like, because a lot of people know him only from the Rocky movies, but he did a lot of kicking movies as well. So, and that's always for me very impressive when you see these people over 50, over 60, they can still kick, or Chuck Norris 80, it's even more crazy. And then that's for me, like, I want to be like that.
Not that far away.
that's still a lot, so don't be crazy. And also you look way younger than you are, so it's all good. That's not always important.
I try.
Yeah, definitely do. I can see that. And the last time when you asked me then do you need your uniform? Because you thought you wanted to do some kick. That was so fun.
Yeah, no, it's early here.
But, it's all good, but I'm pretty sure some people probably want to see one kick from you. So I think you have to maybe.
Oh gosh, I'm in like my living room and I'm wearing socks. Oh gosh.
Just a normal kick.
You're pretty
whatever kick.
Hot.
Whatever kick you want.
Oh God. Okay. I don't know where to even put everyone over here.
I think you can just let it there and then just step back, probably.
Okay. All right. Everybody can see my awesome living
yeah.
room over here. Everybody should not. Please don't do this at home, because you should. Everybody should be stretching before.
Only if you're professional like you.
Okay. Hang
look,
on.
Look how right. effortless.
It's not gonna look that good. Okay.
That's perfect. Look how fast and high it was. Perfect, really.
Thank you. Oh my
really,
gosh.
It's just perfect. Yeah. Is there anything else you want to say, or maybe promote, or any advices you want to give, especially women out there?
Just keep training. And keep going at your own pace. And whatever you put your mind, you know, to, and whatever goal you have, you can do it, because, you know, just dream it and it's going to happen. I think it's an important thing. And I think also in sort of this divisive world we live in, it's such a crazy world. Martial arts unite us, you know, inclusion and everything, so important. So just, yeah, keep building this community. And, you know, in terms of promoting, yeah, you know, I apologize, my Instagram account is private, but welcome friends to join and to find me on Instagram if you want to. Yeah, I very much enjoy this community, and thank you so much for having me. This was a pleasure.
Anytime. It's my honor. I really was looking forward to that. And it's so awesome. I think we learned a lot. And for the people who are new to Taekwondo or maybe want to start, I think that's then the perfect perspective on Taekwondo, also for a woman. So I'm very happy and thank you so much. And until next time, hopefully one day.
Talking about maybe in person next time, but it's a world, but I'm happy to do over the Instagram as well. Thank you.
Yeah, that's anytime. Okay, then bye, everybody. Have a great day. That's it from the Martial Arts Show 2.0. I'm your podcast host, Khalid, and my guest today was the lovely Olga. She's a fifth dan in Taekwondo. We talked about her background, her way into martial arts, into Taekwondo, dealing with hip displeasure, and how she improved all the time and went through all the belts, and some advices, some life advices, and tips and tricks for women, for self-defense. And thank you for listening, thank you for watching and the support. Check out Olga, follow her on Instagram, and yeah, thank you again, and until next time, bye everybody.